Okay, my friends. So today we are reading through the collection of Rudyard Kipling's Just So stories. These are absolutely fascinating stories. They were written a long, long time ago. 150, maybe 200 years ago. And it's actually really interesting stuff because none of these are true stories, right? None of these are things that actually happened. They're all fables. But they teach important lessons, and I can't wait to get into today's story. It is called How the Rhinoceros Got His Skin. And what do you know about a rhinoceros's skin? It is wrinkly. Mm-hmm. And it's also kind of rough, and little bits of fluffy hairs that stick out of it. They're not fluffy, they're sharp, kind of like wiry hairs. Do you remember when we touched a rhinoceros at the zoo? Yeah, a couple years ago, we went to the zoo and we got to touch a rhinoceros. Mm-hmm. 2 years ago. And you could touch his horn, and they're an endangered species, so it was pretty cool. This particular kind of rhino. But that's all to say, I'm very interested to see what this fable will tell us. This is all, of course, pretend. This did not really happen, but that's part of the fun, right? Is the making up these stories. So How the Rhinoceros Got His Skin by Rudyard Kipling, read today by Mommy. And do you have a name?
Baby Toad, but from Super Mario Brothers.
Baby Toad from Super Mario Brothers. And this particular story is illustrated by Christopher Core, and I will, of course, put up a couple pictures on my Instagram so you can see what we're looking at.
Is illustrated red?
Illustrated means that this person drew the pictures for this particular story. The person who wrote the words was named Rudyard Kipling, and the person who did the artwork for this story was named Christopher Core. He's the guy who drew the pictures. Are you ready? Let's go. Once upon a time, in an uninhabited island, which means that no one lived on it, right? On the shores of the Red Sea, there lived a Parsi, from whose hat the rays of the sun were reflected in more than oriental splendor. And the Parsi lived by the Red Sea with nothing but his hat and his knife and his cooking stove of the kind that you must particularly never touch. Ooh, I wonder why you cannot touch it. Don't you? Do you know what a Parsi is? So this is a group of people from India who move around a lot, okay? Mm-hmm. So this is a gentleman from India. Okay. Now, where was I? Ah, yes. One day he took flour and water and currants and plums and sugar and things, and he made himself one cake, which was 2 feet across and 3 feet thick. And that is a very big cake. It was indeed a superior comestible, and that's magic. And he put it on the stove because he was allowed to cook on that stove. And he baked it, and he baked it until it was all done brown and smelt most sentimental. Ooh, that would be a wonderful smell. But just as he was going to eat it, there came down from the beach, from the altogether uninhabited interior, one rhinoceros with a horn on his nose and 2 piggy eyes and few manners. And in those days, the rhinoceros' skin fit him quite tight because there were no wrinkles in it anywhere. And he looked exactly like a Noah's Ark rhinoceros, but of course much bigger. Now, all the same, he had no manners then, and he has no manners now, and he will never have any manners. And he said, "How?" And the Parsi left that cake and climbed on top of the palm tree with nothing on but his hat, from which the rays of the sun were always reflected in more than Oriental Splendor. And the rhinoceros upset the oil stove, oh no, with his nose, the one that you're not supposed to touch, and the cake rolled onto the sand, oh dear. And he spiked that cake on the horn of his nose, and he ate it. And he went away, waving his tail, to the desolate and exclusively uninhabited interior, which abuts on the islands of Mazandera, Socotra, and the promontories of the larger equinox. So what I'm saying is this guy's gone a long way to go. Yeah. So these islands are off of Somalia, which is a country in Africa on the right-hand side. Now, then the Parsi came down from his palm tree and put the stove on its legs and recited the following sloka. Do you know what a sloka is? S-L-O-K-A. It's like a little verse, and which, as you have not heard, I will now proceed to relate. Them that takes cakes, which the Parsi man bakes, makes dreadful mistakes. And there was a great deal more in it than you would think. Because 5 weeks later, there was a heat wave in the Red Sea, and everybody took off all the clothes they had, and the Parsi took off his hat, and the rhinoceros took off his skin and carried it over his shoulder as he came down to the beach to bathe. And in those days, it unbuttoned underneath with three buttons and looked like, well, waterproof. So he had nothing whatever about the Parsi's cake because he'd eaten it at all and he hadn't any manners and henceforth. Nevertheless, he waddled straight into the water and blew bubbles through his nose, but he left his skin on the beach. Now, presently, the Parsi came by and found the skin. It's interesting to me that animals could take off their skin in this particular story. But I should think I would leave mine on, wouldn't you? Mm-hmm. Let's see what happens. So, presently the Parsi came by, found the skin, and he smiled one smile that ran around his face two times. A big smile. And then he danced three times around the skin and rubbed his hands. And then he went to his camp and filled his hat with cake crumbs. For the Parsi never ate anything but cake and never swept out his camp. And he took that skin and he shook that skin and he scrubbed that skin and he rubbed that skin until it was just old, dry, stale, tickly cake crumbs and some burned currants as ever it could possibly hold. Oh, I see. So he's just made the skin super gross. And then he climbed up to the top of his palm tree and waited for the rhinoceros to come out of the water and put it on. And the rhinoceros did. And he buttoned up the three buttons and it tickled like cake crumbs in bed. And then he wanted to scratch, but that only made it worse. And then he laid down on the sand and rolled and rolled and rolled. And every time he rolled, the cake crumbs tickled him worse and worse and worse. And then he ran to the palm tree and rubbed and rubbed and rubbed himself against it. And he rubbed so much and so hard that he rubbed his skin into great folds over his shoulders and another fold underneath where the buttons used to be. But he rubbed the buttons off. And he rubbed some more folds over his legs, and it spoiled his temper, but it didn't make the least difference to the cake crumbs because they were inside his skin and they tickled. So he went home very angry indeed and horribly scratchy. And from that day on, every rhinoceros has great folds in his skin and a very bad temper on account of all the cake crumbs inside. But the Parsi came down from his palm tree wearing his hat, from which the rays of the sun were reflected in more than Oriental Splendor, and packed up his cooking stove and went away in the direction of Orotavo Amygdala, the upland meadows of the Anantarivo, and the marshes of Sanaput, which I do not know where any of those places are, but I'm going to assume they're far away from where he was with this rhinoceros. What do you think? Mm-hmm. Seems like very far away places. And I don't blame him for sneaking out of there. What about you? Would you leave too?
Yeah.
And do you think you would learn to not eat other people's cakes? Mm-hmm. All right. Do you remember when we fed the rhinoceros? They did not want cakes at all.
Yeah, what did they eat? I don't remember.
You don't remember? If memory serves, they ate bananas. Or apples.
Wait, I think it was...
bananas?
Oh, no, that was the elephant.
We fed elephants, too. Yeah, they liked a lot of fruit, too.
Apples and pears and apple pears.
Yeah. But that, my friends, is...
the end.
The end. Thanks so much for listening to today's story. If you wanted to get a copy of this story, I have got a great tool I wanted to make you aware of. You can pop over to amazon.com/shop/storytimewithphilipandmommy, and you will see I've created a list for every month of the year, and in each list, I have put links for every story that we have read in that month. So you can easily find a link to the story so you can purchase it for yourself. And of course, this all goes to help support our podcast so we can get new materials. And of course, don't forget, you can also pick up your copy of the Storytime with Philip and Mommy book, The Sprightly Sprite and the Dragon. And of course, we always hope that you guys enjoy our stories. And we want to say thank you so much for listening.